Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, rechalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. It's been about, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 hours since I've seen you. Long time no see.
Is it that long? Yeah.
At least seven.
Yeah, seven. Hey. Seems like you're doing well. I'm doing fine too.
I hope you're doing okay. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great this morning. I fell asleep at a whopping 7 p.m. before the Preds even started last night. So,
well, that is impressive.
It's a great day.
Good for you.
Yeah. Woke up feeling very chipper.
Michelle is well rested and ready to go on the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road. Joe, not great from the Predators last night. They fall 4-1. At the hands of the Dallas Stars. And I mean, quite honestly, I thought other than about a 5 minute stretch in the first period where it looked like they were getting to their game and very brief glimpses in the second and third periods combined, not much from the Predators last night, particularly offensively. They couldn't get anything going offensively, but look, I thought they were bad defensively last night and they could have given up 6-7 goals in that game and didn't. It was a combination of UC Saros made, I think, one or two saves that were pretty good. And then, you know, Dallas put a couple off the post as well. But all in all, it is not how you draw it up for the home opener last night from the Predators. And they go down 4-1 at the hands of the Dallas Stars. So, Joe, officially, the pursuit of 82-0-0 is done for the Predators last night.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is that two straight home openers they've lost? They lose the home opener last year too.
That is correct.
Yeah, so you know you have the gold walk, which is of course the fans love that, and you get to see the outfits and then don't play well. I tweeted anonymously about this, but you know I'll just say his name. You know, I sat next to Gentry Essis last night, who of course was on that trip to Europe, and he said right before the game, he said, "I don't bet, but if I did, I'd put a lot of money in the Stars tonight based on how I feel," which is interesting because it's been a while. And so I don't want to make an excuse for the Preds, but at some point I looked at him and was like, I see what you're saying. You know, who knows? I mean,
well, just for clarity's sake, Gentry was on the trip in Europe and he is now back. That's why he feels the way he feels.
Yeah. Gentry was on the trip. Right. Yeah. And so I don't know if that's, you know, valid or not in terms of reasoning. Actually, I heard you and Max talking on the pregame show yesterday about how many guys participated in the morning skate, in the optional, which is interesting after 2 days of practice, and you don't normally see it. And I thought about that, too. It's like, I bet you it's like people still aren't totally feeling quite right right now, you know, trying to get themselves worked out. But look, they got their butts kicked by Dallas. I mean, that's also – you shouldn't take credit away from Dallas on that.
Well, I thought Dallas looked really good. I thought they did what Dallas has really tried to do the last couple of years, and that is they clogged up the middle pretty good. They didn't let the Predators get to the middle all that much. You know, I think the Predators, when they're on their game, have a team that is better equipped to maybe force their way to a middle a little bit more than they did last night, and they just felt like – I mean, look, they couldn't get anything going last night. You know, the simple passes in the neutral zone, they were bobbling the puck. There was zero execution last night. I mean, the tape-to-tape plays that's required to get into the zone to break some of the traps that Dallas were throwing out there, they couldn't get anything going in that area last night. So, you know, it's bad. I don't know that I'm, you know, freaking out or panicking if I'm a Predators fan, which saw some of that on Twitter last night. It's beautiful to have hockey back in game one of the continental United States portion of the regular season and people losing their minds. But, you know, it was one of those games, and you could kind of feel it in John Hines's post-game press conference where, you know, I don't really fault the effort level of the Predators or anything. They just looked off the whole night. And, you know, we'll see how they look coming up on Saturday. That's the I guess the good part of this schedule is you've got Dallas again coming up Saturday with a chance to redeem yourself there. But they just looked totally off last night.
Yeah, the power play. I mean, it had a couple decent chances, you know, through the night. But even that was – and think about, you know, the exact same guys. I mean, that's one thing last year that, for the most part, once they got it together, like, it was pretty much you could count on some, you know, some good execution and good chances being created. I mean, a lot of last night, it's like the exact same people are just going to go out the next game and just try to play better, and they have a good chance of doing that. But I do look at power play two, and I wonder if, you know, there could – I mean, I imagine right now, and it's early in the season, I guess it's not a surprise, but I bet you there's going to be some tinkering in terms of personnel on that group. I would think. I was a little surprised with what PP2 looked like last night. And you know, again, they get like 30 seconds.
Right.
And it wasn't good, but, you know, it's a very limited opportunity anyway. But, yeah, just individually a lot of just sort of – discombobulated play, and then just not a lot of, because, you know, you expect Granlund's line, even in a game like that, to do more than it did, and it didn't do a ton.
Well, look, and I think through three games, there's a couple of things that, you know, I don't even know if concerned is the right word, but I'm monitoring at this point. I don't think Granlund's line's been very good through three games. I thought they were okay in Prague, and they had moments where they look fine. You know, Forsberg scored in the second game on a nice wraparound play. Duchesne got the empty net goal in the first game. You know, they had some good looks in those games. But I didn't think there was ever really a point where they were taken over like we saw them do at times last year. And then last night, I mean, you could pretty much put everybody in the same category. It just wasn't very good from start to finish last night. So we're talking about, albeit a very small sample size, three games. They need Forsberg and Duchesne to pick it up a little bit. And that's got to be something that happens here. And kind of building on top of that, you know, it's three games. Again, I'm not overly concerned with it yet, but it is three games to begin the season where you don't have a power play goal at this point. And the power play was such a strength for them last year. That's got to be a strength for them again this year, particularly that top unit. Like, that top unit was an elite power play unit a year ago, and it's not been thus far. Now, I said this yesterday. I think they moved the puck on the power play pretty well in the first two games against Prague and just didn't have anything to show for it. Last night, they didn't do anything well. I mean, last night was just really a total disaster, offensively speaking. Like, they just could not get anything going from an execution standpoint. So, not concerned about those two things yet, Joe, but two things that I'm monitoring that, you know, I think somewhat are related to each other. You need more out of Forsberg, Granlund, and Duchesne, and you certainly need more out of that top power play unit.
Right. And that's 60% of that top power play unit. So, yeah. So that there's a place you point to for sure. You know, to need to pick it up. You know, that's the thing. You go through last night. I mean, I thought, like, of the lines, like, there were some moments for the Herd line, but even them, you know, like, they didn't really, like, sustain much of a forecheck too often. I mean, certainly they had some. I mean, Trennan almost made an unbelievable play. He did make an unbelievable, and then maybe you shoot the puck, I think, on the right, on the spin move, shoot the puck, but just, yeah, nothing sustained really. I mean, really, there's one. I mean, I would say, if one guy last night, there was one guy on the ice for the Preds last night who and I did, it's not like I watched every single, just watched him on every single shift, but who I thought looked like, okay, that's what they're hoping to get this year from that guy. Can you guess who that would be in my mind?
Eli Tolvanen.
You got it.
Nailed it.
He's on his way to 35 goals, folks.
Well, right now, he's got 3 points in three games. He's on his way to 82 points.
Yeah, that's right.
He keeps this pace up. I think he's been very good through the first three games. And look, I didn't think he was spectacular last night or anything.
No, but, I'm not saying that.
You know, he gets the assist on Johansson's goal. He did have a couple of decent looks where I thought it was cool to see. Like he comes in the zone on one play, and he basically pulls like a drag shot around the defenseman. And, you know, Ottinger made a good save on it, but just kind of an aggressive play, aggressive shot. That's good to see from Eli Tolvanen, because I don't think we saw quite enough of that a year ago. So I think Tolvanen is a bright spot.
Yeah, and what did Johansson say in the locker room last night? What did he call him? He called him a – were you there for that? No, that's
what I was talking to Tanner Jeannot.
You were talking to Tanner Jeannot, and gosh darn it, it's like he called him a little something, but it was a compliment.
With Johansson, there's no telling what he said. I'm sure.
But the bottom line is, yeah, there you go. Thank you. Thank you. Emma Lingen tweeted out, he's a horse. He's a little pit bull. That's what he called him. A little pit bull. Which is interesting, you know, and he elaborated on that a little bit. It's interesting because, like, you don't think of Tolvanen that way, right?
You do not.
But he did. I just thought he looked fast, physical. You know, like you watch him, and I know they're not the same player at all, but maybe because their jersey numbers are close and their height is similar. But like Tolvanen and Niederreiter kind of look like each other a little bit with how they play sometimes, which is like at least last night I thought that, which is weird, right? But I agree. He just looks confident, and like now it's like, okay, I know how to like be on the ice. Now I need to, like Hines said the other day, like use what I actually have to bring to the table.
We're off and running here on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds and their loss to the Stars last night on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. More on that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. April in Portland on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says they were bad last night. Defensively, they were atrocious. I know it's game three, but they must do better. Joe, I hope you loved glorious domination last night. We did the last text that we had last night on our text line was from Robert in Nashville, who was apparently at the game at 9:30 and was texting the text line, said, I'm watching Press Row to see if Joe loses his bleep over the glorious song. Lots of concern for you and glorious domination last night.
Well, I want it for the record. There are a lot of other people on Press Row making snide comments about glorious domination. So I'm not alone. I mean, there are times that maybe you need to look at freshening things up. Okay. The Preds do it all the time with a lot of different things. The pregame thing is different. We had a jelly roll out there, you know, in your face on that big screen, you know, and they got some different stuff going on there, which is great. Mix it up, change it up, you know, there are some things that are tradition, and like the song Rocky Top, even when you throw a woo in, it's a tradition. Glorious domination needs not ever be played again anywhere. But the Preds need to change it, man. They need to find something else. I will, instead of just complaining, I will come up with some alternatives. And I will, you know what? I will send a list to Sean Henry. Say, here, try these. I got like five AC/DC songs right now that are better than that right now. Like, snap my finger, boom. So,
This could turn into quite the list if you get rolling. I mean, we remember the day on the show that you counted down, like, the Rolling Stones, like, top 500 songs of all time? Like, you could, hey, right, we could really get after it.
We could. Oh, I mean, I got a lot of possibilities. But, you know, some of mine might be a little obscure. So, no, I mean, you got to think mainstream. You know, you just got to get people excited, you know, and glorious. And I love it there till I'm victorious. It's so stupid. It's a terrible song. I mean, I know it was some pro wrestling song, but like, enough.
Need to clip that up, that's for sure. Play that many times in the future.
Please
don't. Would be great.
No, what happens in the 6 o'clock hour is not clippable. That should be a rule on this show.
Well, to that point, Joe, last night, it certainly did not get the crowd up when you're down 3-0 heading into the third period last night. Just was not great from the Predators. But you flush it. It's 1 of 82. And look, I think they'll be significantly better than they were last night as they move forward here. But I will say, those points that I talked about yesterday in October, let me tell you what you don't want to have happen is to go on the road on Saturday night and then all of a sudden lose in regulation again, and you've dropped 4 points to the Dallas Stars. Again, I know it's early, and people, I think, largely don't believe this, but the games do count the same now as they do in March and April. And you're only going to see the Stars, I believe, 4 times total this year. So that means only 2 more meetings against Dallas after this one coming up on Saturday, which I don't really necessarily love that, but it's a big one coming up on Saturday. It's funny to be talking about that in game 4, but Predators need to at least come out of there with a point on Saturday on the road against Dallas.
Yeah, that just seems wrong. That's even just playing for it. That's not true of, is that true of every division opponent?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Keep shifting up the, they keep shifting up the division. So I need to look. I think they play some 5, but I need to look at the schedule now.
Because obviously the other side, you play a home and a home and a road. I feel like you should be playing more than 4 times. But if there's only 2 left after this, that's not ideal. And yeah, like you said, I mean, they who knows where these teams could be in relation to each other in the spring and head to head mattering whatever. But it's important, and I think the Preds and Ekholm, I think you asked Ekholm about this, right, last night. You know, it's good probably for them to be able to get that immediate chance of redemption against the same guys, because they got, I wouldn't say they got just like thrown around last night, but they just, when you can't sustain anything, and they were, that is a physical team, as we know. Dallas is a very physical team. Oh, yeah. You know, it's you got to feel a little bit like you got pushed around.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think for the Predators, there's not really one aspect of the game last night that you come away feeling good. Like, their penalty kill wasn't very good. Their power play wasn't very good. You know, I thought defensively they were pretty bad last night. It just kind of felt it just felt like they were skating in quicksand a little bit, Joe. Like, they were step and a half slow to everything. I was talking to Hal Gill after the second period, and he was like, Dallas looks really fast out there. I was like, yeah, I don't know if that's because Dallas is that fast or the Predators are that slow tonight. It may be a combination of the two, but I just thought they were totally off last night. So I'm not freaking out about it. You know, you started the season off with 2 wins against San Jose. Obviously, I think the competition level got ramped up last night too, going from San Jose to Dallas. And now you know you're in for one coming up on Saturday on the road, their home opener. You know, their building's going to be buzzing. You know, Pete DeBoer, we talked about it. You know, I was looking at that roster last night. Look, Sagan looked really good last night, and that to me is going to be a big question for them and how effective they are. I thought Sagan was good. But, I mean, the first goal of the game, Joe, I thought kind of set the tone. You had Carrier come in. You know, he gets his shot blocked in the offensive zone. You know, Mason Marchment takes the puck for the Stars. I don't know if I'd call it 1-on-3 because Carrier and Forsberg were both trailing from behind a little bit, but Forsberg eventually caught up to him. Josi went for the puck and totally whiffed on Marchment as the last guy back, and Carrier looked like he was just taking a Sunday stroll out there on the back check too. And all of a sudden nobody's there and it's a breakaway goal. Like, I felt like that play was pretty much symptomatic of how the game went for the Predators last night.
Yeah, I mean, a heck of an individual play by, as I call him, Marchmont.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, also, it was a little bit of like, one of you could have done something, right? Couldn't one of you have done something there?
Yeah.
Tremendous goal by him. But, yeah, that set the tone, no doubt about it.
The other part of what I've noticed out there through three games that, again, not concerned, and in last night's game, I kind of flush. Herdline has not been overly effective thus far in terms of kind of getting to their style of game and certainly creating offense. Like, that was a big part of their game last year too, was, you know, Trennan had almost 20 goals. Tanner Jeannot had mid 20s in terms of the goals that he put in there. So they're going to need those guys offensively. You know, I talked to Jeannot and Sissons about this yesterday at the morning skate. Like, what's the next step for that line? And Jeannot's getting power play time right now. Sissons is on the penalty kill. You know, they're trusted in pretty much every situation out there. Like, the expectations for Jeannot specifically, like, are going to be for that to build on that offense this year. So can he do it? I think he can, but they're not off to the greatest start offensively, which is how they ended the season last year, not off to a very good finish offensively.
That is a good point, yeah. Well, yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, you score 7 goals over there, so it's like they did some things right, right? But sure. it's also like you said, that the competition changed. So, I mean, it's not having some things to work out is not a big deal. It is interesting. I mean, there is so much that's just exactly the same, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the power play one. You know, 2 of your 4 lines are exactly the same. I mean, your D pairings are different, but I guess you maybe would look for a little bit more carryover or continuity. But again, you know, even last year, those same people had ups and downs. That's going to happen. You do wonder, because I feel like Hines, and we know that's the funny thing, is like the one thing you look at as a revolving door, as we've talked about, Tolvanen. Looks like he's going to stay there for a bit, right? That's what I would guess. And by the way, he's out there. I thought he looked pretty good on the penalty kill last night, too, the little pit bull that is Ellie Tolvanen.
Every situation.
Yeah, but those lines are, you know, right now not playing their best. So I don't know. I don't know how many games in that turns from, like, monitoring to, you know, being concerned. Like you said, I haven't looked at Pred's Facebook and never will. But I bet you there's, like, it's like, what is it, DEFCON 2?
I'm sure we're getting close. Will from Bellevue on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says the Preds were slow and unsure. Bad night for us, but at least we got to boo Ryan Suter, which we will never tire of. I thought the first part of the game, Joe, that, like, Predators fans, like, forgot he played for the Stars. And then all of a sudden the Stars got a power play and he touched the puck. I was like, okay, there it is. They were in there last night.
It did take a while, and actually, that's the thing I thought about. I was like, so I guess he just hasn't touched the puck for a long time so far in this game?
Because
it was late. It was well into the game. Everybody's got to get their game together.
That's right. That's slow and unsure. Like, I felt like that was, you know, Will described it that way on the text line. I feel like it's pretty good of what it was last night.
That's a very good description. Very concise and accurate.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into Tennessee and Alabama coming up tomorrow at Neyland Stadium, including some bad news from Tennessee yesterday that maybe does not directly affect the team, but if recent history is any indication, maybe it might. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Joyland in East Nashville. Joyland burgers will melt in your mouth. The fries are crispy goodness, and the milkshakes are sure to satisfy any sweet tooth. You can get half off a $30 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We'll be joined by Big Orange Mac coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts, which I'm sure are very interesting, on Tennessee and Alabama coming up tomorrow at Neyland Stadium. We'll have TD Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock as well. But Joe, I guess some bad news yesterday for Tennessee, and it really has nothing to do with the team on the field. You know, we'll see what the status of Cedric Tillman looks like coming up on Saturday and how the Vols handle Will Anderson and all that stuff. But there are some Tennessee fans, Joe, that feel like maybe Tennessee is doomed from the start here after the news that we saw yesterday. College Game Day announcing via Twitter, via social media yesterday, that Peyton Manning, officially the guest picker for Tennessee, to which my first reaction was, oh, no. Here we go. Every time Peyton Manning shows up to a big sporting event at Tennessee, they get shellacked. I would love to know what his record actually is of showing up. You know, whether it's basketball, baseball, football, whatever it is, a lot of Vol Twitter is like, hey, let's keep Peyton Manning as far away from this thing as we possibly can. And, you know, we wonder, Joe, would it be Dolly Parton? Would they kind of bring out all the stops for their second trip to Knoxville for the guest picker? I mean, I guess to their credit, they have. It's Peyton Manning. It's a pretty good guest picker. But Vol Twitter, very mixed feelings on this, Joe.
Yeah, first of all, check out my coffee mug. This would have been the ideal choice and situation, Dolly Parton. But, you know. Yes.
We love Dolly.
Yeah, everybody does, as they should. It's actually been amazing. So I tweeted about it last night. I actually just put up a poll. So I don't know, this is my third ever or something like that about this. So I'm very fascinated to see the results. The Peyton Manning thing. I mean, look, you're a big, well, you have ranted about the jinx and how it doesn't exist. So why would your reaction be, oh no?
Because his does.
Okay, this one's real.
The evidence is what it is. I can't argue with the results.
Okay, so now this is according to a lot of people on the internet, which is always a good way to start a sentence.
Yes.
Peyton was at the LSU game. Now, I wasn't watching like the broadcast. Yeah, you know, I was in the press box. I'd be stunned. Like Peyton Manning was at a game, and then it wasn't, it wasn't publicized. But then again, maybe that's because of this.
He just following Tennessee around.
Maybe he's just
every week.
Yeah, maybe he's putting on a fake mustache and a hat and sunglasses and trying to, you know, trying to not be detected and trying to break this thing. But if it's true that he was at LSU, and there, I need to try to verify that. But if it's true, well, then he just watched a 40-13 win. I think the Peyton Manning thing goes back to the Georgia State game, right? Because the main thing you can say to that, and I still would say it, is, yeah, guys, he's watched a bunch of Dooley and Butch and Pruitt teams, and so yeah, there's bound to be some disappointment weaved in there. But the Georgia State game was like, I remember actually before the game or like early in the game when he's there, and it was like, oh, that's a good idea. Go to a sure thing win, get that out of the way, and so people can stop talking about the curse. See? And then they lose to Georgia freaking State in Jeremy Pruitt's second season. And it's like, oh my God, it's real. That, right? Before that, I feel like that gained a lot of momentum for the Peyton curse idea.
Well, I can't wait to get Big Orange Max thoughts on this coming up at 7 o'clock, who affectionately refers to Peyton Manning as five head, not four head, but five head. Looking forward to that coming up at 7 o'clock. But a little bit of panic from Tennessee fans yesterday when they saw Peyton Manning as the guest picker. Now, I will say this. You know, everybody talks about Peyton Manning against Florida and how he never beat Florida as starting quarterback for Tennessee. He's pretty darn good against Alabama.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Look, to me, I know that if Alabama wins, then there will be a certain number of people who go back to this, and, you know, you can't stop them. Like, you can't stop people from doing things on the internet. People on the internet, that's the theme today. could really get interesting, especially with Big Orange Mac on the show.
It'll be our last show today.
Yeah, but, hey, to me, it's like, you know what? What could be better than not only breaking, you know, the 15-game losing streak to Nick Saban in Alabama, but also to blowing this up permanently, right? Like, no one would ever talk about it again. If the Vols win Saturday, like, that this ceases to be a thing, and they may lose the next game or win the whatever. Like, it ceases to become to be a thing. So for Peyton's perspective, there's a lot on this one, baby. There's a lot on this because you know he knows. Like, you know, he knows. I mean, the baseball game, that's another one where it's like, oh, Peyton, leave. Like, people are like, leave, Peyton, leave.
Get out of the stadium. It's like Tennessee's, like, treasured son comes home, and now all Vols fans look at him when he gets to the stadium. He's like, hey, can you please get as far away from here as humanly possible, please? Thank you. Thanks for taking one for the team.
Like, the only thing that should be, like, uncomfortable for Peyton Manning when he comes back to Tennessee is how many people want to take pictures with him and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like, because of sucky football teams over a long period of time, he should not have to pay for that. And yet, here he is.
Here he is.
So this is a chance to blow it up.
It is. It's going to be interesting to see what sort of impact the Peyton Manning curse, the curse of Fivehead, has on Tennessee Vols as they take on Alabama coming up on Saturday. Joe, it's interesting that you brought this up on our show grid. You know, we got out of Bridgestone Arena last night, immediately came back to the studio for hours of show planning today. And when you brought this up, it was interesting to me. Like, we've talked about Butch Jones. They started 5-0 before. They were top 10 in the country. They had a tough overtime loss to Texas A&M, but it was still number one Alabama and I believe number nine Tennessee at the time, back in 2016, at the matchup at Neyland Stadium. And we know what happened in the game itself, but it never really felt like this one feels. There's a lot of really positive momentum right now, not only from what we've seen on the field from Tennessee. We talked about the recruiting all offseason long. You know, to me, it does feel a little bit different with Heupel right now than it did with Butch at the time. Not to say that, like, I don't think anybody in 2016, until the end of 2016, thought that maybe the next year would be it for Butch. Like, when you're scoring, you know, those touchdowns against Florida in the second half and you beat Georgia on the Hail Mary, I don't think there was a Tennessee fan thinking that he was going to get fired the next year at that time. But it does feel to me like just Heupel in general, what he's been able to do thus far, feels a little bit different than anything they've had in a while to me.
No, it is. And, of course, there's a huge difference. If you're going to go 2016 season and now, I mean, the difference there, and I think this will come for Heupel. Of course, at that point, he may have already, who knows? Who knows where he'll be or where they'll be. But once you got to 2016, you got to the point of, okay, you've recruited really well, Butch. Now these are mostly your players. Now what are you, right? And we're not to the point with Heupel yet where you can say that. I mean, it is also a different, even now, like, it's so different in 2022, even than 16, in terms of, I mean, look, the transfer portal means that you can much more quickly get better and worse now than you could really 5 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So there's that, but it's still like the lifeblood of these programs is going to continue to be recruiting great talent out of high school and stacking classes year after year. And so that's one thing we don't know yet with Heupel. It looks, I mean, things are going well. Butch at this point, I think, you know, he was working on a really big time class, like in his second year, but also, you know, he went 5-7 his first year. And like that second team, you know, goes and gets waxed at a great Oklahoma team, actually loses a really tough game at a good Georgia team, and then the 10-9 loss to Florida for anybody who remembers that in 2014. So I mean, there, yeah, it was kind of like, and they actually rebounded.
Treon Harris.
Yes, my goodness. Oh, talk about terrible football to have to watch. You know, and they won 4 or 5 at the end. I'm trying to think. Is that the year that Dobbs eventually took over? Am I thinking of that right? Yeah. So, but you know, it's obviously, like, excitement was doused early, but by the end of the second year, it was like, okay, looks like you found a quarterback. Recruiting's going extremely well. All right. Like, and it did get better from there. Like, they advanced from there. The difference now, of course, it's such a volume of success here really early on the field. And maybe the recruiting isn't quite at the same level, although you do have the 5-star quarterback coming in. So that's a little different. But I think, look, I just think it's, and the hard part is looking back on, but like, when did Butch really start getting on people's nerves with the stupid catchphrases and stuff, you know? I mean, like I don't think in year two it was.
No.
Right? I mean, it was basically once the expectations, okay, now Butch, like 16, okay, you're the favorite in the SEC East. Like, you are expected to win the SEC East. I mean, Georgia just changed coaches. Who knows if Kirby Smart's worth a darn? He doesn't have a very good team. I think Georgia went 6-6 that year, right?
Get that stupid visor on, yeah.
Yeah, McElwain and Florida. I mean, so that's where – that is the year where all those things, champions of life, and you got Shy Tuttle falling on a helmet and whatever, you know, all the stuff that happened. But
what do we want from our media?
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. My goodness. I mean, all that stuff. And that's but from the start with Heupel, and I think it's going to be consistent. You know, Andy Staples had a mailbag yesterday for us, you know, at the Athletic, talking about Heupel and also admitting, like, he's like, I didn't think he was this good. Like, just like, basically across the board, college football media is having right now to kind of have a little humble pie, not just us, although we got a big dose of it.
Yeah, we did.
But just in terms of one, how much he's improved since. You know, Oklahoma, how much he's evolved the offense. But yeah, it's the adult in the room thing, I think, is going to, because there are going to be tough times, right? And that's where negativity in college football, I think it can be in no other sport, I don't believe, can like public momentum, good or bad, but especially bad, can in no other sport can it so dramatically affect a coach and a coaching tenure than in college football. I think he has the demeanor to handle those ups and downs, and the last few guys didn't.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on Tennessee and Alabama at 615-737-1025. We'll get to the game itself coming up tomorrow. Is there any way in a loss for Tennessee against Alabama that you could still feel good about this game and about this team coming up on in the aftermath on Monday? We'll discuss that next, 615-737-1025. 1025. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. One of the things I love about betting on the NFL is that I'm always finding new players or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. And it's perfect for the slate coming up on Sunday. Bills, Chiefs, lots of eyeballs on that. I've been on the Bills all week long. I think the Bucs are going to absolutely destroy the Pittsburgh Steelers as well with their defense against that quarterback situation. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel Sportsbook. Same game parlays are just one of the reasons I bet with FanDuel. They've got great live betting options and fast withdrawals of your money as well. There's no feeling like nailing the same game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code ROB. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You can make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Tune into the College Football Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game this Saturday as MTSU takes on Western Kentucky at 2:30. College Football Game of the Week brought to you by Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on Tennessee and Alabama on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got Big Orange Mac coming up at 7 o'clock as well, so looking forward to that.
Hey, real quick, man, real quick. This is why I love Vol Twitter. Let's get going, Vol Twitter. Let's get going.
All right,
let's see. At Terp Chicago Vol, Brian. At Terp Chicago Vol, I put up the poll on Peyton Manning. Here's what he said to me: "You are a Vandy homer. Focus on them. It's a molehill you wish was a mountain. You got me at Terp Chicago of all. I hate your team, and I love the team you hate. Let's go, baby. Let's go."
Well, you're a Vandy Joe, according to Brian on Twitter. And according to our good friend Jared Stillman, big Tennessee pom-pom waiver from you. Big time.
Maybe I just love everyone.
I'm just waiting for everyone. BBN Joe.
Hey, it's Michelle Knezeval.
That was a good one yesterday.
Formerly known as Michelle Calipari. Michelle Perry. Yes. No,
Michelle Perry. That's so much nicer.
Beautiful stuff. Luke on the text line says in all capital letters, I said it's great to be a Tennessee Vol. Vols 38, Bama 31. Lance on the text line says, what's the over-under on Bama D-line leg cramp flops tomorrow? Hashtag my wife is a huge Bama fan. This from Lance on the text line.
Yeah, there might be one or two of those.
We haven't seen a ton of them. We've seen some. We've not seen a ton of them thus far.
Oh, they don't play Lane this year, so you may not see the incredible amount of them that Lane's teams tend to throw out.
Well, my favorite was the Purdue game in the Music City Bowl when it was like, I don't know, 46 degrees outside, and there was just cramps left and right. I was like, this is going well. This is real good stuff.
That stadium kind of retains heat, man. It's surprising.
It does. A lot of heat in there at Nissan Stadium. So, Joe, obviously, there are going to be a lot of eyeballs on this game coming up tomorrow between Tennessee and Alabama. You know, we'll get to Pigskin Pick'em later, but Alabama is favored in the game. It is Alabama. So, I think there's more than a decent chance that Alabama is going to win this game tomorrow against Tennessee. Is there a result that involves a Tennessee loss to you that Tennessee fans can feel good about? And I'm not talking about in the moment, because I don't think there are going to be any Tennessee fans that, you know, if Tennessee loses some heartbreaker tomorrow at Neyland Stadium, are like, golly gee, that was awesome. That was great stuff there.
No,
but as you know, next week, the week after rolls around, is there a result that maybe you look back on as a Tennessee fan and think to yourself, man, we got a pretty good team.
Yeah, so I did a Twitter Spaces this week, which honestly, I mean, I'd heard of Twitter Spaces, and I don't really like. I just kind of like earmuffs, you know. But like Reddit college football guy reached out and I asked, because he's like, hey, you know, ask, you know, Staples an hour back did it, and I'm like, okay, so I've seen like the Tennessee, like Aria and Gentry have done it. So anyway, I was like, okay, I'll try it. Actually, it's pretty easy. Like, it's basically just people talking on Twitter. Who knew? But one of the questions I got was, you know, if Tennessee loses this game, how would they not feel like, when will we ever beat Alabama? You know? And my answer was, guys, Alabama's the national title favorite. I mean, yes. Like, so it's not like this is a combination of Tennessee being up and Bama being down. I understand they fell to number three. Oh my goodness, it's disaster in Tuscaloosa. You've fallen to number three in the polls and you're undefeated, but you almost lost a couple games. Like there's never a time where it's like, oh, it's finally our time to beat Alabama. Like teams randomly find them on a bad day, like Texas A&M did last year. So first of all, like, please go into this game with perspective. You're right, Robbie. Of course, like, any loss is going to be heartbreaking because there's so much excitement. But look at this week. Look at college football talking about Tennessee football. Ross Dellinger had a really good story at Sports Illustrated about Tennessee, including, by the way, all the cigars that have been ordered to Knoxville this week.
Oh, God.
So, but it's a really good. But the point being, everybody's talking about Tennessee football. This is a huge deal. So look. When it's all said and done, and I'm not at all ruling out the Vols winning, I think they have a real shot. Bryce Young on the field, all that. I think the Vols have a real shot to win this game. But if they're competitive and they look like they belong on the field with Alabama for a full game, because remember, they did for three quarters last year with the one time Josh Heupel had a crack at them. But if they do that for a whole game and they lose a hard fought game, of course it will. I'm not saying in the moment, all right, well, feeling good. But come on, it's still part of positive momentum. I mean, it's absolutely part of positive momentum. And even though you raise expectations with this start, it's still a different deal here. I mean, you know, LSU blowing them out like that, that's an eye-opener. The wins over Pittsburgh and Florida are big, but none of those teams compare to what's coming to the Neyland Stadium tomorrow, as everybody knows. So, like, you still have to – you have to be realistic about it. And if this is a competitive game and Tennessee acquits itself well and respectfully, they're still way ahead of schedule under Josh Heupel in year two. So
also, can this team handle a moment like this? Like, you've got, I mean, the Florida game was big, and I thought they handled it really well. It's not this. I mean, this is Alabama. This is Nick Saban, all those things. You know, not only do the players who are on their roster for the most part have a ton of experience in big games, obviously their coaching staff has a ton of experience in big games as well. And Tennessee's, to this point, really doesn't. Can Tennessee and their players, their coaches, handle this? Because, Joe, I think sometimes what happens against Alabama, and I don't necessarily expect this to happen with Heupel, I think sometimes what happens against Alabama is coaching staffs and players maybe try a little bit too hard, and they try to do a little bit too much, and that ends up just blowing up right in their face. Can Tennessee avoid doing that stuff tomorrow?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's like almost like I saw in the 80s in the Super Bowl, like, you know, one team or the other would start making some mistakes, and then it's like, ah, it's a blowout. Another interesting thing on that, and I mentioned the Ross Dellinger story. He talked to Todd Kelly Jr., and I don't have the quote in front of me, but basically Todd Kelly Jr. was like, no one ever thought we could beat Alabama, which, you know, I know it's easy to say after the fact and going into all those games, you know, those guys played hard and then they tried, but I believe it. Like, there was no confidence. They knew that it's just too much on the other side. I don't, we'll see, you know, but I think last year should give this team confidence. And I get the sense that they have actual real confidence going to this game. And it starts with Heupel, but also with the players. I think it starts with Hendon Hooker. So that's a powerful thing, but it is it's a huge difference. Like last year, it's like, don't get all caught up in yourself going to LSU. And now it's like, you got to get caught up in yourself a little bit. Like, you can win this game.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by a resident member of Vol Twitter, the great Big Orange Mac, looking ahead to Tennessee and Alabama tomorrow. We'll get his thoughts on the matchup, his thoughts on the start for Tennessee as well, and his thoughts on Peyton Manning as the guest picker for College Game Day. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found Nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.